History for Fools. Welcome back, man. History for Fools.
Hey.
We got Butch Escobar.
What's up? How's it going, everybody?
You know what? School is almost in session, man. Getting ready right here. We're like in, you know how it is when you're going in between classes. We're in nutrition. You know,
we went to the cafeteria.
Yeah, I got my.
We went to the school cafeteria.
Got my little coffee. Kid coffee. Fucking got my fifth grader coffee.
Yes, we got Phillips over there doing homework.
That's right, making sure he's correcting our homework.
Doing his little Scantrans.
Scantrans. I remember those, dude.
Did you have history class in history? History class in history. Did you have a history class in high school?
Yes, but I got kicked out. And I had to go to like special ed history.
So you were history?
Yeah, I was history. I never learned about...
Why did they kick you out?
Because I was always making weird noises in the back. Because apparently, even though it was negative attention, my ADHD caused me to like negative attention. That was according to the school psychologist. I think she's a dumb bitch. I think I was just trying to like fucking make my friends laugh.
So you were one of those kids, bro, that they used to have like, you wear like a little furry jacket and they stuck you on Velcro wall.
Yeah. Bro, I used to be the kid that had to face the front of the class. Like go all the way, they'd push my desk to the chalkboard and I'd have to stare at the front of the class.
Oh, so you're that kid, man, like when they went on field trips, there was an extra person in the classroom to get you in a chokehold.
Yes, there was. I had my own minder when we'd go on field trips, or my mom would go with me, which was fucking terrifying.
That was weird, man. Like when you were going on a field trip, and I guess it only happens in preschool, where the parents are allowed to go. Like there's a zoo trip, so the whole family goes, and you go in the bus, and that family stood there.
Yeah, dude.
And they got a free trip to the zoo.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're eating good food.
I loved going on field trips where my mom didn't have to go. So I would always behave like a month before. I would start, because they would be like, hey, if you want to go to the museum trip, you got to start fucking being a good kid. So I would start to behave then. Because then, you would get good food. Like, my mom would have to send me with money. Yeah, those were the only times that I liked in school was the field trips, to be honest.
Shout out to Mr. Shaughnessy. I don't know if I ever mentioned him on the History for Fools podcast.
Oh, really? Is that your history teacher?
He was my history teacher, bro, in, I think, ninth grade.
Okay.
And, or seventh grade. And that food took me to, for extra, any kids want extra credit? And I was already bombing, doing bad, failing. So I said, I do. So me and these two girls and another kid, I think, and another girl,
mm-hmm.
We all got inside his Volkswagen, like Ted Bundy. And we went to a superintendent meeting somewhere, bro. They were voting on something. And we got to see a bunch of teachers.
That's fucking dope. Yeah. See, that's a good teacher, man. I like teachers like that.
On his own, bro. No field trip, no nothing. So I don't know if it was sanctioned, but he took us, and we got to see him argue something and blah, 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 and then he just dropped us off back to school, and we went home.
I had Mr. Darby. That was my guy who did that, but he was the vice principal, and they had to bring him out of retirement, and he was like an old Texas man, and they just would make me sit in his office. So he started teaching me stuff, and like anytime I did good, he would take me bowling. But he would be like, Robert, Robert, Robert.
He took us to a bunch of other meetings with him, and then when the teacher went on strike, I remember my metal shop teacher, Mr. Tringali, he wasn't down for no strike.
Right.
Right? That fool like a veteran, bro.
Yeah, he's like, he's an old man. Bullshit.
That fool lived in Thousand Oaks, bro. He drove all the way to Hollaback Junior High School. That's far, right?
That's like an hour, right?
Yeah, bro. To metal shop, to little Mexican kids don't care.
Yeah, dude.
All we did was make ninja stars, bro. So this dude.
What was his teacher's name again?
Mr. Tringali. He was Italian.
No, the history teacher.
Mr. Shaughnessy. Mr. Shaughnessy, bro. Uh-huh. He was protesting with the teachers. For better pay, better unions. So they protested for 3 days. A lot of kids, they were asked to stay home or come to school, but they were all, if you didn't have a class in that period, you had to go to the auditorium. So most of my teachers, I think, went to school because they were old. They don't lose that pension. They got good pensions. They don't care. So Mr. Tringali, metal shop teacher, first period, dog. We're just working, and we're watching like people protest. And I can see Mr. Shawnee, see? Yeah, like I went to Tringali from up there. Fuck you! Fuck you! And I'm looking at him going, this is my first period.
He's how saying, old, fuck how, you. What grade were you in?
Fucking seventh grade, bro.
It's crazy to see teachers.
He was saying, fuck you. He was saying, scab, scab.
That's hilarious, dude. That's so fucking funny, bro.
Then he goes, come over here, man. Let me teach you guys about some skills you might need to know in the future, man, if you don't want to get an education.
Right. That's just in line.
Bro, I was learning how to weld, bro.
Yeah. Welders make great money.
Yeah, imagine, bro, I could have took metal shop from 7th, 8th, and 9th, 3 years.
Right.
That's 3 years of learning how to weld. I could have dropped out of high school.
Yeah.
And got a job at the Naval Shipyard.
Right. And you wouldn't be doing this.
So, right now, bro, be somewhere, bro, with hot ass, with no head, one missing a finger.
Bro, if you, in another life, if you were to do that, you would look back and go, as a welder, as however old you are, as a welder, and you'd be making great money, you'd have a home, you'd have a nice living, and you'd be like, man, thanks for Mr. Tringali, he saved my life. But if you look at it from your perspective right now, where you're at, he could have ruined your life.
They got rid of all those classes, bro.
Like, I wonder how many shop kids that are out there that are welders right now that are like, shit, I could have been a famous comedian.
Now, some of those dudes, bro, they do it making ninja stars.
Yeah, dude.
And we're about to make, like, we had a machine to make a dustpan, bro, a metal dustpan. And the machine we had, you put the metal in, you could fold metal.
Yes, yes.
Cut metal. We have these scissors that would cut metal like you wouldn't believe. And we had a furnace to melt metal, bro, to make hammers. We had a furnace, and we took it out.
Wow, you had like a fucking, bro, what's it called? Like a kiln?
Bro, these, like, I see these videos of these
a
guys.
A forge.
I see these videos of these guys, you know, blah, blah. And I'm doing blah blah because they're making axes again. They're making they're making an axe, and this guy, you know,
right?
He has a beard, and he looks like you, bro. You know, he has all the equipment. He has gloves. He has fucking glasses, and he's talking about he's making an axe, bro. A fresh axe. He's putting the molten steel
right.
In a little thing, right?
Right.
Right. And then, like, man, back when men did real jobs, blah, blah, Ben did that.
Right.
And I'm looking at that, bro, Mr. Tringali taught me how to do that in seventh grade. Fool, we made a mold for the tip of the hammer, bro. And we put the metal, hey, guys, if you have metal at home, bring it. So we put the metal in a little pot. It melted, dog.
That's so fucking dope.
We took it out, bro, with our gloves.
Yeah.
And he helped us pour it in.
Right.
And everybody got a turn pouring in the hot lava, bro, of metal. And then when it was made, we took them out, bro. We fucking filed them, bro. We filed them.
There was a
machine there that was really soft. And it go boom. And then we put the hammer head right there, bro, and that motherfucker was shiny, bro.
Right.
Like chrome.
Yeah, like a mirror.
Yeah, but there was a dude there, bro, that fucking, I remember one time when I had metal shop in another school, we were doing the same hammer. That fool got the hammer handle, bro, the handle.
Right.
He got it all hot, and he put it in somebody's neck and burned him.
Okay.
All right, dog.
Oh, shit.
We got to go, dog. All right, bro.
Dude, I didn't even get to have my snack.
I didn't even do my homework. I was supposed to do my homework.
Don't worry, I did it for both of us.
Bro, I was one of the dudes that would do his homework and recess, bro. Bro, I would. I would.
I didn't. I never did my homework.
I was one of those kids, bro, that would rather be absent than show up with no homework.
Oh, I would steal someone's homework, erase their name, and put my name on it.
And then I'll ask my friend, bro, what homework is there for tomorrow? And I show up with that homework and the one that I didn't show up because I wasn't there. With the answers already from the person that went to school.
Do you remember when the answers were in the back of the math books?
They're not there no more?
Nah, I don't think so, but I think they caught on.
Shit, every time I found a book, bro, it was like, go to page 5.
Yeah, I loved that, dude. Then the teachers caught on somewhere in like the 8th or 9th grade.
Go to page 7, and you go to page 12, go to page 300. Then like Chris Estrada's joke, okay? You get to page 300, there's a cartoon of someone draws somebody holding a penis.
I saw that all the time. That's so funny, dude. I remember in that movie, Superbad, where he talks about drawing dicks. I think so many of us related to that, dude. Dicks were the best. To this day, I still draw dicks.
I'll draw pigs.
I draw dicks on the mirrors in the hotels with my finger.
I draw 666 sometimes, but I don't know why.
Do you really?
I'm mad.
You leave a message for the next person.
I put F-U-C-K-U just in case a nosy kid later on goes, what did they write?
That's fucking funny, dude.
What's up, everybody? History for fools.
What's
up? Napoleon Bonaparte.
Bonaparte.
Who was actually born in Italy.
Yes, right, which was a state.
Corsican.
Yeah,
Italy was Corsica. A state of Europe, right? Not a country, right?
It was a state of Europe. It wasn't a country. And it was like, I can't tell if it was referred to as Genoa or Genoa was a different, like a city in it or something. Because this is also, when I read stuff, man, like, I just want to let you guys know, like, I'm not inherently a smart person. Like, Felipe and me discuss what topics we're going to do, and then I jump into it. So I didn't even know that this was happening after this, our American Civil War. This is like this isn't that long ago if you think about it in terms of things.
Yeah, this is Napoleon Dynamite. That's one.
Let's get into Napoleon Dynamite.
Every time I see Napoleon Dynamite, that's two. You gotta take a shot, eh? Bring out your notes.
Let's do it.
What up, man? We're gonna get somebody to catch up right here, man. He's about to I think he's about to light up. Okay. Ready? Okay.
Hell yeah.
I know that he was born in Italy, Corsican, right?
Right. On the island of Corsica.
Which, by the way, that's where the Cheech and Chong movie was from, the Corsican brothers.
Corsican brothers. I could not stop thinking about that. 1769, I believe, is when he was born.
1769?
Yeah.
And America was talking about revolution in America, which is the standard 1776.
Right. And so like, okay, so actually, no. So French had bought the Corsican island a year before he was born.
Which is Italy?
Which was part of Italy. And they acquired the island, I think, in a treaty or something. At this time, like, they've been at war with Britain for like close to 100 years, or at least half a century. And, you know, the thing is that France has always been under attack. France is constantly fighting wars at this point. So France takes this island, and at the same time, Corsica doesn't want to belong to anybody. They just want to be themselves. Yeah, they're like, fuck you all. And Napoleon, as a consequence, is growing up in this, and he's not poor. He's got... His family has money. They're.
He was born poor, right?
No, he wasn't born poor at all. He's just born kind of a nobody. Like, he was born a rich kid on an island of poor people. So he was like the richest of poor people. But that's like, you know, it's. I'm trying to think of a comparison, but it's like, yeah, it's like you're the richest guy in like Hawaii, you know? And I mean, most of the people who live in Hawaii aren't rich. So. He did. His family did have some business. His dad was like a lawyer, and at this time that France had taken it over, his dad was a nationalist. He didn't want France to be a part of this. So Napoleon's growing up in that. At the same time, though, he understands, like, shit, we got to fucking be kind of cool with France right now. So he signs up to be a noble, like, because at this time, France is starting to go, okay, people who on Corsica, you need to fucking, we need to appropriate you. So we're going to start sending your, so if you were a noble, your kids got sent to France and they were trained in the military and brought up as like officers and stuff. So, I mean, he didn't spend long there. He, at like 8 or 9 years old, he went into military school or into reform school. And he was nationalized as a French person. But, you know, one thing to remember about Napoleon, bro, super smart guy. Right off the bat, learned French, like, right away.
He could write.
He could write. He had a bad accent, though. That was the thing. He had an Italian accent in his French. And
he also liked water slides.
I don't know if he, like, they don't, I don't know if I read that.
Yeah, bro, and Bill and Ted. Their adventure.
That's the thing, bro, is Napoleon is like this character in history that we've made fun of forever.
But he was not even, he was nobody to be made fun of.
Bro, this guy, let me just say this, man.
He was intelligent, man.
I've never had more fun doing this project, doing a project. Maybe the serial murders was as close as I came. This is an interesting guy because there's times I think the reason why Napoleon's such a prolific character is because of all that he did, but because of what he was. He was like fucking, he was a cool guy at sometimes. He was generous. He was loving. He was a tyrant. He was a fucking murderer. He was a piece of shit at times. He was a liar. He was a cheater. He was all of these things, man. And I think as men, we could relate to that because like, there are times when he was super generous to people. Like, he took care of everybody that took... He went back when he became ruler. He went back and took care of everybody that took care of him. He was like Steve Harvey, bro. He went back and, like...
Bought a wig.
Gave everybody... gave everybody money that took care of him. And, like, you know, and then, like, there were times when, like, during, like, when his occupation of Egypt... He told his soldiers to respect Muslim culture. He allowed people to be gay.
He was all about free religion, too.
Yeah. He was enlightened. He didn't have religion. He was atheist. He didn't believe in anything.
That's true. Like, at some point when he was in Egypt, and everything you're saying right there is true about, he was like, don't mess with the Muslim religion. Let him keep practicing. That the elitist people that were not... They were against that decision. We're saying that he was getting too close to Islam.
Yes, they were because they think that there's a rumor that
even back then, man, he's hanging around with black people. Oh, he's trying to act black.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is he was a very progressive thinker. So you got to remember, this is the time where this is the turn of the century or the end of the century. I'm sorry, and they're like. You know, science is causing a lot of technology to happen. Science is now a thing, and people are becoming more enlightened. The 18th century is the century of enlightenment. It's where we're no longer just believing in doctrines. So Napoleon came around at a really perfect time because he
brought historians and scholars and engineers, and he opened up schools in Egypt, right?
So let's talk about Egypt in the movie. Let's just jump into the fucking movie because...
False or true?
So false. The movie shit is so false.
He never shot the pyramids, huh?
Never shot the pyramids. The battle was down the road from the pyramids. I mean, you could see the pyramids from where the battle was happening. And it was a quick battle. It was in less than 3 hours that he defeated the Ottomans.
He lost a lot of troops on the way to the pyramids, huh?
No. Well, so what happened is he lost a lot on the way to Cairo.
That's right, my bad.
But so here's the thing, man. The movie makes it go, shows him going to Egypt, blowing up the pyramids, which didn't happen.
And win that war.
And then winning that war right away, and then going home because of Josephine. All that's false. First of all, he was obsessed with Europe. He wanted to, the Orient. He actually wanted to go and and invade the Orient, but he knew Egypt was his first pass. And he was doing it for that reason, but also to cut off trade with Britain. To crush British's
trade routes through India
economy. And so he got out there. He invaded rather quickly. At the same time, though, that he was invading, the Royal Navy was fucking super powerful.
Big Navy.
And they caught a ship on an excursion that was going to meet Napoleon's other ships, his fleet. And they found out Napoleon's plans. So at the same time that he's invading fucking Egypt, the Royal Navy's taking out his ships out in the waters that are like his supply line. So he has no idea that his future in Egypt is going to be cut short. But meanwhile, while he's there, and that's what this leaves out, is because it makes it look like it's a quick excursion, and his girlfriend's like,
they never had a way to get
my
back.
My pussy hurts. And then he's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude, that's not what happened. He took over for a while. It's like 4 or 5 years where he like overall where they occupied. And he actually took over, developed newspapers, freed up religion, like
freed the slaves, hospitals,
restored their tax, like made a better tax system for them. Hospitals, newspapers were going around Cairo for the first time. Like, he innovated Egypt. This is the one thing that you can never say, and especially in Europe and the French, if it wasn't for Napoleon, you guys wouldn't be shit. Like, half of this fucking world wouldn't be shit. And reading this has made me really believe this. But yeah, so what happens is he realizes the supply line's cut off from Great Britain. And I mean, from France. And he has no idea what the fuck to do because he's completely cut off. And
because the boats are.
Right. But at the same time, though, so Egypt is good and bad. Egypt is good for him in that it was kind of like a trial at being an emperor because he completely alone controlled Egypt. But here's where the piece of shit Napoleon comes in.
He had to fight those two tribes, which he beat, huh?
Yeah. The Makuks or something like that, and the Ottomans.
But he was very, but even though he was
swift, bro,
even
hours.
Even though Napoleon, he knew that he was going to beat them. He was really enamored of the way they were, the way they looked, the colorful uniforms.
Right, yeah.
He didn't care, like, he was going to beat their ass, but he's still like, you know what, they're dressed nice.
Napoleon is a true gentleman in that he'll kill half your guys, let you surrender, be cool, let you live, and then even give back some of your land. Like, and with the Austrians, he defeated the Austrians. We're going to move forward a little bit but and talk about it later. But he defeats the Austrians and gives them some of their land. But back to Egypt.
Napoleon had a better telescope than the Egyptians. He could see everything than they could, enough.
Right. Well, the thing is that he brought technology to Egypt. And he made it better. But the problem was his supply line was cut off. He didn't know what to do. And this is where he becomes a piece of shit. He knows that his time's going to be short in Egypt and that it's going to become a huge failure at the end. So he hops a boat with some of his guards and abandons 20,000 guys in Egypt and fucking heads back to France.
His troops.
And then when he gets back to France, he's like, hey, just so you guys know, we conquered Egypt. It's ours. It's all good. Fucking let's move on to the next thing. And because they were so in love with Napoleon at the time that they just kind of let him get away with it and they didn't really investigate it. But very soon, the British...
That's why here in America, we have checks and balances.
But I'll be honest with you, too. He left the guy in charge, and they held reign for 2 more years after he left. So it wasn't like they were going to catch on right away that it turned to shit. But it did give him an entrance into what he could be into the future and what people could see. You know, and so that's the thing about... I don't like that these movies come out and they don't say this isn't exactly what happened. Because I do feel like the movie did a lot of scooping of broad things and putting him in one place. Like, one of the most defining moments for Napoleon, do you remember the scene? Oh, are we spoiling this movie?
No, we're not.
Okay.
We're talking history.
We're talking history.
Also, man, if you want to go watch Napoleon, have you seen Napoleon the movie? You know, just fast forward this part and then come back to it.
Yeah, after you watch it. Yeah, we should put a spoiler alert in the front because there's just a couple of scenes.
But the scene, also, are you talking about the scene, the battle? And they didn't show the Battle of Waterloo in the movie.
Did they show the battle? Yes, they did.
That's the battle when they lost.
That's the end.
Also, what are you going to mention right now?
Well, there's one battle, and this is where I really...
Elu? Island Elio?
Well, okay, so there's a scene where there's a protest, and he opens up...
That's right. That's in Morocco. No. When you busted up the cannons on the front on the people that want to be royal, they're royalists.
Yeah, this is in France,
and that part of being run by British snapped right in there after as soon as the revolution.
So just kind of give you guys an idea, like at this time, you know, when Napoleon is starting to take over, what happens is that the king and queen, the monarchy. France wants to get completely rid of their monarchy. That's what the French Revolution's about. Now, the Napoleonic Wars are about the rest of the countries not wanting France's influence to invade the influence of their country because they're still monarchies, king and queen. So they're like, yo, we can't have a fucking a free France like we have a free America.
Yeah.
We're fine with a free America because it's way over there. British is like, we don't give a fuck because we're a constitutional monarchy, which means is we just have a king and queen that just do what they do now, which is we just walk around yeah. and spend money. You know, but like the rest of the region is like, fuck no. And this is when like the first coalition kind of breaks out against Napoleon because they're afraid of freedom. They don't want other people to be influenced by what he's doing,
but and also at the same time, the part of the thing they call separatists, but during the French Revolution, yeah. it's not just Napoleon Dynamite. There's like so many revolutionaries inside going on during the French Revolution. This is what I want to talk about. When in the movie or in real life, uh-huh. and there's a movie called Marie Antoinette. She's yes. famous for saying, those who don't like it can eat cake.
Let them eat their cake.
Let them eat their cake. Something stupid. Which is very disrespectful because, you know, poor people
couldn't go
their whole life not ever having cake.
Right.
Or not even having sugar.
Right. You know? So, that's right, because sugar was taxed heavily back out. Then.
So she gets her head cut off, right?
Yeah, because So at the beginning of the revolution, she got her head cut off, right? Right.
And the people in charge who decided to her took her to court and had her head cut off. These people were part of the French Revolution also.
Right.
And you know, later on, that's the guy that kicked out Napoleon's homie, kicked out of the office.
Yes.
That guy, that period of time, which is 4 years or 5, is called because they were locking up a lot of rich people that are part of the royalists.
They were killing them.
They were killing us.
14,000 of them.
This is like what happens when in Laos and Vietnam and Saigon when they took over.
Okay.
And Cuba, they started killing all the rich people, right. bro. Or anybody that was close to the royal family.
Right.
So these people that were doing this.
I didn't know that about those other countries.
Yeah, just an example. That's what they
right.
did.
Right, yeah, yeah.
They started, you know, they're like massacre.
Can I add a note?
So these people are going, they're going on trial and without right. a lawyer, and then they're being charged for being part of the last government.
Oh, yeah, they were being hunted down, but the king and queen weren't going to be executed. They were just going to be exiled. They fucked up.
The king and queen fucked up?
Yeah, because they tried to escape. So then they were like held, they were just held.
They tried to escape?
Yeah, they tried to escape before the revolution took over. And so they were caught on the way to their escape to Austria. They were caught by who? They were caught by revolutionaries. So these cheeky bastards. These revolutionaries were called Jacobins, and the Jacobins were against the royalty. But when the stirring started to happen, and they removed the royalty wasn't in danger yet. The royalty was just removed, and they were sequestered. And during their sequestering, they started making motions to Austria to have Austria rescue them to start a coalition and get them back to their seats. So when they tried to escape, they were caught. I can't remember. I think it was like in Belgium or something like that. And they were brought back. And when they were brought back, they're in Bruges, and they were brought back. And then even then, they still weren't on the death penalty yet. They were still like, hey, you guys fucked up. But when they started consorting and doing more stuff and then talking shit, like, and let them eat cake, that's when everybody was like, fucking behave these fucking pieces of shits. But again, Louis the 16th, or I think it was, yeah, Louis the 16th, 1415, 16th. He was a he inherited Louis the 15th and Louis the 14th's fucking debt and wars. He was like a fucking, he became like president at like, or king at like 16.
And Marie Antoinette, they married her off at 14.
Yeah, these were kids.
They were kids.
She was like beheaded at like 18.
Yeah, 20, it's like 30 something.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, but at 14, what does she knew?
What do you know?
All she knows is the palace. They're not allowed to go outside.
No, and then you're not. These aren't like people who are elected because they were smart. They're elected because they were born in.
Born.
So
they probably were married off to keep peace.
And the other thing to remember is a lot of royalty became really stupid because
inbreds.
They were inbreds.
Inbred.
If you look at the paintings of them, you know, if you look at King like George. Old inbred, like King George, bro, that's crazy to me.
Also, man, it's good to note here right now that the reason France was bankrupt is because America, they loaned a shit ton of money, or like books said, hell of money to the new United States of America, right, to fight the wars.
They were trying to start their own
and
thing
the
in
whole
US.
Time that that's why the whole during the American Revolution, the whole time Benjamin Franklin is in France, besides fucking hoes, he's over there having parties and borrowing money to send back to America, selling gold bars to America.
Yeah, dude, the Ben Franklin shit is funny to me because, like,
because bro, there's a movie.
He was a party animal, bro.
There's a movie or a show. I don't know if it's Turn, which is about George Washington spies, or another movie with Tom Hardy that went nowhere. I forgot the name of it.
Oh.
And they send somebody was spying over there,
Lawless.
Huh?
Lawless.
Not Lawless. He was like
That was a good movie.
He was like a British guy, like a weirdo. So we're getting sidetracked here, but forgot what I was talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about.
I was staring outside the
King
classroom
and Queen,
with a bird.
I love when we do this. King and Queen, they were like, oh, the money was going to America. France was in debt because the money was going to America to start their colonies in the United States. And then we started talking about Ben Franklin.
Because there was a scene somewhere, man. It was like, I don't know if it was king, some king from England. He goes, what? He goes, who do we owe? We don't owe. We do the collecting in this world. Right? That, like that, dog.
Right.
We do the collecting in this world.
Oh.
We don't owe no one.
We're the masters.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is, Britain at the time was the masters. And they were like, the only problem with the U.S. is that we were far away.
Yeah, but, man. So
they were the masters of Europe.
So there's a part in that movie, bro, in that show where the girl goes, he goes, you send a message to the colonies. He's choking her like this. He has a gun to her head. You send a message to the colonies, to this spy, this actress.
Right.
She goes, no, you bastard.
Taboo?
That's it, yeah. I sent a message to the United States of America. Boom,
wow,
bro. But that shit gave me the chills, dog.
I gotta watch.
Like,
this.
Where's the statue for her?
This is a TV show?
Yeah, right there, that one. That one right there, at the end of the movie, at the end of the show, it gives you the goosebumps.
Wow.
He goes, what flag are we? He goes, what if they stop us when we get to America with this flag? He goes, what flag are we gonna be bearing? And this fool goes like this. And it's a flag with the 13 colonies, dog.
Nice.
Anyway, so in that movie, he's in London, and he's part of some tribe, bro. That his dad owns money and he owns land in Vancouver over there by fucking Canada.
Okay.
So the only way he can go get that. If fucking the British wanted to take it from him,
right?
So the only way for him to keep all those lands is if British loses to America. So he's gung ho trying to help America.
Okay.
So this fool, bro, is going to America.
Like he has
spoiler
a
alert.
Fight.
he's going to America, bro, with like 100 gallons of saltpeter.
Okay.
You know what saltpeter is, right?
That's it's the like powder, phosphate. Yeah.
The powder to sulfate to make gunpowder.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's to make gunpowder too.
Which we're going to get into later with guns. Get back to Napoleon, man. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. So, you know, yeah, that so like that's the thing is like you know, we also have to like if you're a democracy in Europe, which is I think all of Europe at this point.
You were saying that this Napoleon.
You have Napoleon to thank for this.
You were saying that this Napoleon thing led to World War One.
Yeah. So here's the thing, man: is Napoleon's war has led to, other skirmishes and other things like that has led to World War One, and then from World War One we go to World War Two, and from World War Two we go to almost all the conflicts. You could even include Vietnam in that, and
because Vietnam, the French was in Vietnam,
right? And this is the thing, man. This is I think why Napoleon is such a gripping character. Again, you would see him on TV. He's played in all these different roles. I remember Time Bandit. He's a fucking buffoon.
Hey, in the movie, spoiler alert, in the movie, in Napoleon movie, they say, is this true though? I looked it up. It was like he lost more people. That he went to war with 600,000 troops and came back with 20,000.
Okay, so that's near the end. And yes, that is actually really true.
That's when they were fighting in the cold winter of Persia.
So
nobody's ever won in the snow with Russia.
So let me give you a couple of like real Except so we Japan. Can speed up to this stuff. So the grape shot shit that happened, that's real, but that lasted 3 days.
And, how about him shooting the ocean and they're drowning?
And never. That was called a whiff of grape shot. He said, give the crowd a whiff of grape shot and they'll never fucking come back again and fight us. And it took them 30 years to protest again. So that was a turning point for him.
Where?
Well, that was when that was the insurrection.
What year was that?
Well, you're going to give me the hard questions when I'm trying to move through this shit. Whiff of grape shot. Where are we, dude? Jesus Christ. 1795. Thank you. So that moves him towards doing other battles. So, you know, the what you were talking about, and again, you know, this is kind of the end for him, the first end, okay, because there's two endings for him. So he becomes emperor at some point, he works his way up, he takes out the local government. Through a bunch of things like if we were talking about the movie, do you remember the scene where his brother pulls a sword to him and he's like, I'll kill my brother if he's a traitor, and then they all go in and fucking take down the government
if he's a traitor?
Yeah, do you remember that scene?
Yeah.
So there's this scene where
I didn't get that part, bro, when he did that, I kill my brother if he's a traitor.
Bro, there's so many things in this movie. That's why if I didn't know this history, this movie would have been fucking boring.
But I don't get the part because and I know that's when they did a coup d'etat, like they say. Coup d'etat. Yeah, was like, bro, when I don't know.
That was a bloodless coup d'etat, which was, dude, that coup d'etat was so brilliant. Because what happened, go ahead.
You go ahead, because, bro, everything they do is seemingly like very godfather-esque.
Right.
Like, very thoughtful.
So he's
sinister, bro. They plan ahead.
So he comes back from Egypt, and he starts to like put a stop to a lot of wars and attacks, and he's becoming very, very powerful in the military, and he's making his own diplomatic decisions, and it's pissing off the government.
Isn't that the France I left behind?
So he comes back in and he gets like, so back then the directory is what their presidential types were. It wasn't just one guy, it was five guys, and they controlled all the military movement. So he came back and he made the directory resign their posts. So there was nobody in charge of the military except for him now. Then he went in and they were trying to have him arrested for doing that. And what happened was is that when he got back from Paris, he made his brother Lucien in charge of basically the lower house. There's two halves, the ancients and the lower 500s. And his brother was in charge of the lower 500s. So he's listening to him talk about arresting him. He goes out and he tells him, hey, they're going to fucking arrest you. So we need to say that they're going to fucking, that they're terrorists and they're going to try to kill you. And so they tell the military that, and they're questioning it. And he goes, if I'm fucking lying, I'll kill my brother. So they go in and they fucking take down all those guys and quickly dismantle the house of, like, the House of Representatives. And so now there's nobody in charge except for Napoleon. So he puts five dudes in charge of deciding who becomes in charge of France, but there are five of his friends. So they make him in charge, and he becomes emperor. There's, this is also a true thing that happens when he takes... So ever since the beginning of time, the Pope would give the crown to the king of whatever place.
Yes.
That was the common thing, right? Was God. This is where this tradition stops. Because Napoleon...
Yeah, weird, because I saw the crowning of three crowns on that one. The leaf and the other one.
Yeah, because, well, the leaf one is because he wants to look like Caesar, because he thinks Caesar is the greatest thing that ever lived. And he wants to compare himself to Caesar. So that's why he looks Caesarish.
He's Italian.
But he takes the crown and puts it on himself because he's like, you ain't fucking crowning me. You represent God. I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
I believe in me. I'm crowning me, motherfucker.
And he was Boom. There too, huh?
What's that?
Was the Pope there when he did
the
it?
The Pope, he took it from the Pope who was trying
That's
to,
right.
The Pope went to give it to him, and he takes it from the Pope and he puts it on his own head. And that's a huge symbol of him saying, like, I don't give a fuck about churches. I don't give a fuck about religions, which is like really progressive in my mind. At the same time, tyrannical. But at the same time, to be honest with you, that garnered in like 10, I think it was like almost a decade of peace, like where France saw peace for the first time. Like he had made peace with Britain for a while and all these others. And that was the end of the first coalition. And the first coalition was all about trying to suppress freedom. The second coalition, that was about trying to kill Napoleon because he was starting to become tyrannical in other countries because he beat the fuck out of, and we're getting to where your question is earlier. He beats the fuck out. Austrians can't beat him for shit. And so finally they're just like, fuck it, dude. Whatever you want, dude, we'll do it. And so he gives them some land.
Hey, man, he said, I learned a lot from that war, bro. The way he took over, but he goes, man, what did he say? He goes, flanked him from the left, flanked him from the right. And when he said flank to the right and left, that means they're already getting beat up from the front, and now they're going to fuck them up on the
bro,
side.
Bro, he would... That was the thing is that he developed...
He was a master skills soldier, huh?
This is the most brilliant thing that he did. He did a lot of things. He never invented anything.
Tell them about the guns, bro, passing the gun.
So he developed one method of
two-man quarter.
Two-man quarter, which is like, it's a line of two guys, and it's a row, probably about 6, 7, 10 deep, and the guy in the back is loading the rifles and passing them forward. And so it's like a machine gun, pa-pow, 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 and it's just rotating. And as those guys get shot down, the guys behind them pick it up and keep going. And so it's like a rolling phalanx of bullets.
Because at that, the British... They were not fighting like that, and they didn't fight like that in America. The British would just, one guy will shoot, right. Then he'll kneel, and then the other, load, and the other guy will shoot,
right.
And then we'll get kneel. You had a lot of soldiers doing
he
that
He developed
way.
A lot of tactics, but this was...
Napoleon way was way better than that, right?
Here's the best thing that Napoleon invented in my mind, was he invented the mini battalion or mini brigade. Oh, excuse me, sorry. What he did was he took a regular army brigade, and he shrunk it down to its quarter size, but he added artillery, which is what they didn't have, like cannons, movable cannons. He put wheels on cannons.
He was first to do that.
But then he put a staff on each little mini army, and so that army, in a sense, could hold off an army four times its size for 24 hours for help to come. One of the other things he did that you'll see in the movie is he cut off supply lines. That's what he was really good at, was cutting off that the first battle in that movie, the Battle of Toulon. What they don't talk about is that battle lasted a long time, and it was
in the movie one day.
Because in the movie one day, because he cut off supply lines, and he made it so that supply lines. So when they were dried up with supply lines, they would go running, and he was really good at that. In the one of the final battles against Austria, which caused the first coalition to end, he was outnumbered 3-1, but he cut off their supply lines, and with those mini armies, just beat fucking just grinded down, like with his numbers really low and their death numbers really high and capture numbers, he was able to get them to surrender. Give up their daughter to him at some point as well.
He wanted that daughter to have a baby, huh?
Just to have a baby. But that's the thing is that, so at some point, he owned Austria, Germany, Russia, Prussia.
Parts of Africa.
Parts of Africa. But just,
all of Italy,
but we're just Rome. Talking about, yeah, Italy. He didn't fuck with Rome.
Italy, Sicily, whatever all that is.
He didn't want to fuck with the Vatican because he knew that would go too far. But what he did, bro, was that he owned these guys, and then he started to develop a system of trade so that he was trying to choke out the Brits. He was only at peace with the Brits for a little while, but he wanted to choke them out. So what he did was he made all his guys now who are his forced allies to stop trading with the Brits. But what happens is that Russia goes, you're fucking us over, dog. Like, we can't get up with this. We can't, like, this is fucking up our economy. So Russia says, we're not going along with your trading system anymore. And that's where he fucks up because he...
That Russia is really far, huh? And that they're probably paying too much tariff, huh, to get all the supplies.
Yeah, it's too far. Other countries. And that's what fucks him in the end because his advisors, and it makes it, and again, just so everybody knows, I'm not trying to give it too much away, but what's the girl that he's in love with, Josephine? She has no sway. He loves her. He's crazy about her. But in real life, he doesn't give a fuck what she thinks. But his advisors are like, just leave Russia alone. It's too far.
I heard that she started an affair as soon as he left to go.
That's all true. All that's true. And we'll get to Josephine later. But we're getting... So what happens, bro, is that Russia refuses. And this is brilliant on Russia's behalf.
Didn't Russia team up with an ally of his? Or that was England and Persia? England and Austria.
It was England and Austria.
So he's fighting two wars at the time.
He's fighting, bro, like everybody around him wants him dead. So he goes into Russia to force them. He takes the first Russian town, the seat of their religion. He fucking keeps marching forward. His advisors are like, look, dude, he's like, we got to look for these guys. And the more he keeps going into Russia, the more he keeps finding abandoned towns. He only has one battle.
Because they don't want to give it to him, so they just burn it, huh?
Say they get into Moscow. And then they burned Moscow.
Damn, he got deep then.
He got deep in it.
Bro, think about it. That's on foot and horses.
So he doesn't go to St. Petersburg. What he does do is he turns around. But by then it's too late. The winter's coming, and it's one of the coldest winters ever. And he's not prepared for winter to begin with. He didn't even think about it.
The Russians are used to eating leather boots, so they're ready.
So his men start dying on the way out. They start fucking... falling, they're eating their own horses, they're dying. At the same time, bandits are coming and fucking them up. And yeah, those are the scenes. Fuck yeah, dude. I love those paintings, dude. And he comes back.
It's funny, man. The guy was painting. Don't shoot me, I'm just a painter.
He left with 400,000 and he came back with like 30,000. Something like that. I could be wrong. I know someone's going to correct me on all these numbers. I have it all written down.
Dude, I read that also that Napoleon could have been a hand model because he had great hands.
I didn't hear that, but also
I read that. Look it up, Philip.
Napoleon wasn't
Napoleon hands.
So in the movie, obviously they make him look like a man. He was skinny. He was gaunt. He looked frail. He didn't do a lot of battling.
He didn't talk like the Joker.
Huh?
He didn't talk like the Joker?
No, he didn't talk like the Joker. He had a bad French accent, which is why he was a nationalist, which is why he wanted to always, you know, this is the other thing is, I don't know if anybody realizes this, but France's greatest asset wasn't a Frenchman. It was an Italian turned Frenchman from the island of Corsica. But anyway, so yeah, his guys get starved out. He comes back with nothing. And then that's when he has to abdicate himself, and he's exiled to, Alba.
And when he was exiled to Alba, who exiled him? The French or the other countries?
The local French government.
Even though he was emperor?
Yeah, because here's the thing about the French man to this day.
It's Democrat, right?
You cannot fucking fuck with the people of France. If they get pissed
off. Because they rule, the people rule.
They will revolt. To this day, when they revolt, when the French people start tearing up the streets, it's time to change your shit up.
Here the British exiled him.
Oh, the British exiled him.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was the Brits.
That How about his hands?
His hands? I'm looking for it. He always kept his hands in his pocket. Not one thing, but I don't see
it. Just look up Napoleon hand model.
So the Brits controlled France at this time?
Huh. Yeah, that was near the end of his life.
Great. Okay. All right. So that all happens, dude, and he goes to Elba, and he chills in Elba for a while. And I'm keeping time, by the way. So, all right. So he goes to Elba. I mean, could you imagine, bro, at one time, you're the greatest conqueror of all time. Like, nobody could fuck with you. You're untouchable. And all of a sudden, you're the king of this little island. Which, by the way, the island falls in love with him. Like, they
love him, huh? He has his own troops, though, right?
He gets to take, like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, like, maybe 5,000, 2,000, something like around there.
What kind of deal is that, bro? This guy's trying to kill you, and then you give him his own island.
Well, what's crazy, bro, is now
they want the
bro,
French
we
people
hunt
to
down.
Revolt, huh?
We hunted in this time. Saddam would have been given an island and given some money to chill and just.
But they know they kill if they were to kill Napoleon, the French people would revolt, huh?
Because they loved him. Because they loved them. Well, that's what we're gonna get to next. Is that he's starting to get news back from the mainland that he's being missed. Louis XVI, or what's the, is it Louis XVIII? Whoever, whatever fucking Louis is in charge at the time.
Louis XIV?
No, that's Louis XVI is when he takes over.
Yeah.
And then I think there's Louis XVIII that comes in or something like that, but he's doing a really bad job. And France wants their fucking, their ruler back. And they want their emperor back. Half of France is like, dude, fuck this. And they're losing every day. They're losing more and more numbers to Napoleon. So he gets whiff of this. He fucking gets a boat and a group of guys together. And he floats down a little bit further down from, you know, down the way. And gets onto the island of, gets onto the land. I can't remember where. But he forms a group of troops there. And it starts to go inland towards Paris. Paris gets word of it, and at the time, the king says, fucking get rid of him.
King of England.
Yeah, the king of France, I think.
The king again?
There's a guy that's in charge of France that England put in charge. And he's like, get rid of Napoleon, kill him. The first battalion that rolls up to him, kills him. The guy that's in charge definitely wants Napoleon to die, but of the first group that he runs into, which is...
His troops?
Yeah, he goes, and he does. That's another part that's real in the movie where he goes, "Hey, if I'm your enemy, if you guys think I'm here to do bad things, shoot me down right now. If I'm not your emperor, then please kill me." And that's when they're like, "All right." And it's true, bro. He went from town to town collecting a military.
Damn.
And he took back France. He took back, because again, it makes it seem like it was a real quick turnaround time, but it wasn't. He took France for a while.
He took France and they started going battling again?
Yeah, and that's what, again, now we have.
That's when he did the Waterloo, huh?
Right. Yeah, that's when he did. That's so this is the end, you know, for him.
The Battle of Waterloo.
And. He was successful in a lot of the battles during that campaign, but Waterloo was the end for him because he underestimated the Prussians.
They fought the way he fought, huh?
Well, that was the other thing, bro. So that there's a scene again, and I don't think I'm giving anything away because you can,
this is all historic.
This is historic, and this is you could see this. There's a better Napoleon movie that was made in the early '80s. that the director paid fuck tons of money to have every scene be accurate. All the troops in the movie are not CGI, and all the fucking regiments and how they're shaped and everything.
Was that with that actor something Scott?
I can't remember the name. But he, so there's a scene, and this is a famous thing, where they would get in a circle. Napoleon developed this. He says it in the movie. They're stealing my battle tactics. But fucking, they get in a circle, and it forces the horses to go around in a circle. And you just pick them off. And the circle's like five rows deep of guys. There's triangles, there's squares.
Those guys on horses have swords or guns?
They have swords and pistols.
But they don't have time to reload, huh?
No, like some guys would just have a couple on them. Yeah, this is before the repeating rifle and repeating
I noticed pistol. That in the movie, and when I looked it up, that Napoleon had a certain type of regiment guys that were, I think they were actually engineers, bro.
Yes.
They had a sword, they had a fucking a rifle in the back, and they had a pistol.
Right.
But they had a badass axe.
Yes.
And their axe had the point to stab the castle or forges it in, and also to cut down trees.
Yes.
And their sword was a regular sword, but the top part, they could flip it over and chop it and saw a tree off.
Yes, yeah.
So those were like, no, that was ingenious. No one had those before, huh?
No. He had guys that invented that stuff.
So like he was fighting with engineers that were fucking ready to.
He was the first guy like, to deploy.
I'm gonna take over your town, and we're gonna start building a new France today.
Well, because here's the thing, bro. When do you see a king?
He was fast at building forts, huh?
Yes, very fast. Well, the part of it is also the morale of his men. He would go into battle with
and
them.
And you gotta pump motherfuckers
so
up.
So if you're going into battle, bro, and your horse is getting blown up, and all that shit, dude. You got to go into battle. So now he's implementing engineers back in the day would sit at the back of the, they wouldn't even be, they would be back home inventing stuff. Now they're inventing stuff on the battlefield. He changed battle tactics forever.
Also, Napoleon, man, was a big cheerleader for his troops. Like whenever they were down, he'll go over there and make them laugh. He'll sit with them, make them feel good. Like they'll be like, the guy will have one arm. Napoleon come out to you. Don't worry, man. You took out 100 motherfuckers for us. You're a hero.
Right.
You're the best. And yeah. You know what? We're going to fight for your arm
they
today.
Loved him. They loved
and
him.
And here's some beer. And then Napoleon will be smoking a cigar. He don't give a fuck. He'll give him a little taste. You know, put a blanket on them, you know. And one thing about him, man, he was filling up their morale.
Right.
And they'll feel good, man. And they will follow him anywhere.
Right. Yeah, that was the thing is that he knew... You know, and again, man, this is a guy, if you came from the island of Corsica in today's age, bro, it would be like you came from like East LA or if you came from like a bad part of town and maybe you were the family that owned the fucking liquor store on the corner, but it was still like he came from nothing.
They used to look down at him and go, oh, remember that part where they say, they still consider you a Corsican thug.
Yeah, because to them, bro, they were apes. They were like, if you look at caricatures
of Napoleon, he always had a big head
right.
with that gorilla hair, bro.
Right.
I always wonder why they did that, dude.
Because it's
it was the British who started Napoleon complex.
Right, because he wasn't a short man. He was the average 5'8", size.
Dog.
Yeah, he was the average size of the
he just didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes.
No,
he didn't have blonde hair and blue
eyes.
He
was gangly and he had like kind of a distended belly with like skinny legs and no butt. And he was like an awkward looking man.
And he had great hands.
He had great hands apparently. Well, him putting his hand in his thing like that was an homage to Caesar. And all the great conquerors. Okay, see that one with a horse on it right there? In that corner? That's him before the Battle of Waterloo going into over the French Alps into Italy to take Italy and to fight the Austrians. Sorry, not before the Battle of Waterloo. When he won the first coalition before he became emperor. He had that painting done. He didn't see. This is one of the things that Napoleon was also. He was a liar. He fucking didn't go over the Alps on a stallion. He went over the Alps on a donkey. If you look up Napoleon on a donkey, that's a more accurate painting. But I
didn't fight 500. It was 700. Yeah, that's it.
Not that one. That one. Yeah, that's him going over the French Alps.
And
he was like, because his idea was like to be like Hannibal, who did the same thing.
That was a comical one.
Comical one, yeah. Man, they hated this guy, bro. They hated him so much.
Backwards.
And that was the thing, is that if you were a French person, and honestly, man, I'll be honest, in the end, when he was banished back to St. Helena after losing the Battle of Waterloo, he only wanted, dude, I really believe this. He just wanted
to be loved,
to rule France and
have French people free.
And have French people free.
They want them to eat.
Bro, he was a progressive dude. He just also was, he's like Bill Clinton, bro. He wanted to help minorities out and be cool with everybody and have free religion. But he was also a bad guy. You know, like he
was very progressive man. He also had a black general, bro. If you guys watched the movie,
yes.
There's a black guy next to him, and his name was Thomas Alexandre Dumas, born 1762 to 1806, and he was known for he was a mulatto, born in French colony of Saint Dominique, which is the modern day Dominican Republic. In Haiti, he joined the French army as a private and rose to the rank of general. Also, his son wrote the book Three Musketeers and the Count of Monte Cristo. What's his son's name, Philip?
Thomas Dumas.
They mentioned his book in the Shawshank Redemption when Andrew Dufresne gets all those books, and the guy they're putting the books away in category, and he goes, "We got this book here about Dumas." Oh, that's Thomas Dumas. The Count of Monte Cristo is based on a prison escape. And the whole movie is based on a prison escape.
Yeah, I love that shit, dude.
But it's funny, man, how the black general, bro, he was from Haiti, Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And he fucking, like, Napoleon put the general in charge of 50,000 troops.
Yeah, that's insane.
Because back then, man, it wasn't like it is now, bro. They didn't see color.
No, and to be honest with you, man, I think Europe...
That's how progressive badass he was.
I don't know if this is a European thing or what, but my only experience European-wise was going to Montreal, Canada. And I remember going out to clubs, and there were... You know, even here, bro, in California, where we think we're very progressive, you know, yeah, everybody has, like, black friends and Mexican friends. There's always groups, but people still group up. And I didn't notice that when I was in Quebec, which is French Canada. And I wonder if that has a lot to do with just France or Europe in itself, but there didn't seem to be any real racism or racial separations between black and white people. I know that there's a native thing happening in Canada, but I didn't. And it makes sense. Napoleon, you know, regardless of what everybody, what he thinks about him, he was a huge influence. Like, I mean, the Louvre has a lot of, its stuff is because he had taken that stuff from Italy, and he, you know, but like there's schools and institutions and things that happen that are happening to this day that throughout Europe, but mostly France, that are thanks to Napoleon. And again, man, I'm non-violent person. Obviously, I don't believe in violence. I'm conflicted with this guy. Like, there are times where I was like, wow, what a fucking really good person he seems to be. And there were times where I was like, what an awful fucking human being.
Bro, also, is it here that Napoleon, he invented the centimeter?
Oh, really? Oh,
look
wow.
Look it up, Philip.
Did he invent the metric system or just the centimeter?
Of course, you know, they'll say he was short. The British will say he was short. Somebody who invented a measurement tape.
Something so small, the centimeter. Yeah, dude. He's, well, that's the thing, is that So, you know, if you go back to his early life, when he was 9 years old and he had to go to school, he learned French fluently in 3 months, even though he did it with an accent. He was really smart. He loved history, was his favorite subject, but he was great at science and all the other subjects. But his greatest subject was math. And that was the thing, is that they put him into the artillery. And back then, if you were a captain or a general in the artillery, at first that didn't mean shit because the artillery wasn't shit. But because of what the Americans had done with their artillery was starting to make it show up on the battlefield and not just on ships. And so he came at the same time that artillery was being innovated in a very heavy way. With his math skills plus artillery, and any artillery person will tell you, you need to have math skills in order to know how to do artillery. He mastered artillery, and then he came up with new ways of using artillery.
Yeah.
Like he took the grape shot, and I don't know if
Napoleon?
You...
Napoleon?
Yeah, and I sent you that grape shot video. I don't know if you want to play it on here later and clip it in, but dude, that to me is...
What grape shot?
So remember that video I sent you of the grape shot? It's a video of a guy showing how grape shot worked. That's grape shot. So one of those.
Right.
So on the left, that's grape shot.
Yeah, that old fly out is just so like a big shotgun.
So some of that's grape shot and some of that's canister shot. So on the far, so that stuff in cloth is grape shot.
You shoot 5 bullets at a time?
So what happens when that thing explodes, the fabric that it's in, one of those balls is a little bit smaller than a cue ball.
Yeah.
Okay? And see how it's metal, draped up like that? So as soon as that thing fires out, the cloth and the twine burn up, and those things just spread like a massive shotgun. If you look at that lower left corner,
so you can blow away like 30 people at once.
So if you look left of the, that is canister shot. Now that would go inside of a can, and the can it would explode. But grape shot was way worse because its fucking range was further because it wasn't hindered by any other metal, and it would just fly out. And imagine, bro, getting hit by something like that.
And it'll go through and hit the other person, huh?
Bro, it'll go like fucking through 5 or 6 people.
Like, and it'll cut it on trees,
when
huh?
When you see heads explode in movies where they're like firing cannons.
They shot one of those at those insurrectionists, bro.
Yeah.
Grape shot.
And the reason
it's called grape shot.
Let's see.
Because when it's actually together, it actually looks like a bunch of grapes. Now this is a 9-pound cannon charge. With grape shot.
So they will put that in the cannon?
Yep.
A wooden standoff, 12 grape shot balls, all tied together.
Is that a Turkish soldier, bro?
Cased in a canvas bag.
This is a Napoleonic.
The idea of this is when this is put into the cannon and fired, okay, the wood acts as a standoff to stop the ball expanding and blocking the barrel and exploding the barrel. Once it goes, then the flame of the cannon will actually burn away all the wood and the cordage. Now, we know that these were fired at the Battle of Waterloo that we use in the battlefield.
Because
archaeologists have actually found grape shot on both sides, French and the British.
Can you imagine getting hit by one of those things, bro? Like, your head would explode if
you
got hit with
those fired?
Huh?
You have a bit of one of those fired? Because I saw in a movie that he was melting old cannons to make those balls.
Yeah. Oh, so what he was making in the movie was not cannon... was a grape shot he was making. He also mastered using a shrapnel shot, which was like, it was like a ball of lead, and it had cuts in between the middle of it. Like we use split shot for fishing, but with a bunch of splits. And what he learned was that when the ball hit at a certain trajectory on the ground, they would all the pieces would explode and go into people. And so what he would do is he would fire it up into the air, and it would land in the ground between troops and explode and just blow.
Motherfucker, ahead of his time.
Yeah, bro. It's nasty
he was
shit.
Massacring fool. However, Napoleon said, he goes, remember, man, if we ever like in a battle with that guy again, that I left no POWs. I took no prisoners.
Took no quarter or something like that.
What does that mean? That he just killed them all?
Yep, he killed all of them. There's one thing that I need to know. Here's some grape shot.
Was he bragging or what?
He was saying, I'm not going to let anybody fucking live.
So he's pretty much threatening a guy, huh?
Yeah, yeah. He's letting him know, like, no one's going to survive if you fight me. Here's the thing.
He fuck fools up, huh?
Here's one thing to note about Waterloo that I did watch a separate documentary about, And it did kind of change my mind. So
he ran on that one, huh?
He was, yes, he ran. And one of the things was is that he looked like he was going to take, all things pointed to him taking Waterloo. And this guy did a research on the day that Waterloo happened. And when you go to Waterloo, where it's at now in Belgium, it's flat land with a huge pyramid in the middle as a monument to what happened there. What we didn't know for the longest time was that all the land, all that part of the pyramid is all the land scooped up around Waterloo and made into a pyramid. So the land was kind of bumpy. And the one thing that the movie did do is it made the battle scene look accurate, because Napoleon stupidly was fighting on a plane. And anybody knows, whoever plays video games or if you've actually been in real war, having height advantage over an opponent is a big deal. Wellington's troops had the high ground. The other thing is that Napoleon was depending on his shrapnel shot. He was using grape shot, but he was depending on his shrapnel shot. And what had happened was that it was raining and muddy. And this guy in this documentary that I was watching went back and tested shrapnel shot. He's a British military specialist, and he remade shrapnel shot, and he shot it into mud. And what happened was is that the mud kept the shrapnel together.
Damn.
So what he believes, his hypothesis is that Napoleon actually would have won the Battle of Waterloo had it not been raining that day.
He would have won the Battle of Dryloo. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. There it is. There's fucking Napoleon.
Napoleon, man.
What do you think?
Matthew was a badass dude, bro. Like, he came in there, bro, kicked ass.
Fuck yeah, he did.
He told that guy, man, listen, man, I'm gonna go in there and take the city down, but not as a second in command.
Fuck yeah, dude. That was the thing, but I think that was very smart of him, is he watched himself with the government when he first started building popularity. Like, one time he went and commanded a bunch of troops in the north or east or something. And there was no money in the town, and the troops were in a bad way. And he helped restore that military in that town, and they loved him. They thought he was the greatest thing that ever happened, but he was new. And he knew that if he went back with that popularity to the government seat, that they would not like that. So he came back and humbly just said, oh, we did good, things were great there, and reported like nothing happened. Because he was smart, man. Yeah. He knew to move in slowly. He knew to creep in and slowly take what he needed.
History for Fools. What's up, Butch? You ready to do it next week or what?
Bro, I'm...
Guns or what?
Guns. We're doing guns next week, dude. I'm excited,
man.
About
go
this
Go read
one.
Up. Next week, man, we're going to do history on guns. So look up saltpeter and how do they make guns. Because there's a couple of fake shotguns from back in the day the Chinese had.
Yeah. I know a little bit about this because I owned a Belgian gun from 1830s.
Be lying, Napoleon.
No, I did, bro. And then my fucking ex-girlfriend, fucking bitch, took it with her after the breakup. And you can't register those because they're antiques. So it's gone forever.
One thing, man, I don't like is that I'm watching this movie and I'm thinking, oh, man, that's crazy. No, I didn't know he was there. When they cut out Marie Antoinette's head,
he wasn't there.
Fuck, that's fucking Hollywood shit. You know that movie was done in 6 days. You think it was rushed?
Yeah, dude. You know what? Can I share this real quick? Because I wrote down the Napoleon
timeline.
Well, not the Napoleon timeline, but I wrote down all the shit that I disagreed with in the movie.
Yeah, do it.
Egypt notes. Egypt. Egypt part one, date of birth, at home. Sorry, guys.
Because when I looked up on Napoleon on YouTube, I said that fool had no money when he was zero money when he was 16 years old.
Right.
And then later on, when he was 26, he had like millions.
That's true. That is true. He, at 16, he actually, dude, he had to take care of his family because they were in debt for a mulberry farm that didn't work out. He had to finish 2 years of school in 1 year. So Marie Antoinette wasn't, why he left Egypt wasn't, we already talked about. Fighting the crowd. That lasted 3 or 4 days. That didn't just happen overnight. He did not intend to go. What did I put? Okay. Somewhat successful in Russia. He wasn't completely successful in Russia. He did not go to St. Petersburg. He did not go to St. Petersburg. They made this movie somehow. Oh, that's the other thing, is that they made it seem like he hindered all his decisions off of Josephine.
No, I know. In the movie, they made him look like he was pussy whooped.
He was. He wrote to her all the time.
He wrote every day.
But half of them was, bro. Half of them. I feel like this is where I relate to Napoleon. I love my girl so much, but she doesn't dictate what I do with comedy.
But you do email her every day.
I do email. I call her every day. But he also did. He pined for her. She cheated on him so much. She fucking fucked him over for a long time. But then after, she did fall in love with him, and he did fall in love with her. But then when she fell in love with him and decided not to cheat on him anymore, guess what? He's cheating on her. I think I got it all. Oh, did you catch the succulent meal in the movie?
No.
There's a part where the guy's like, I'm trying to have a succulent meal.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, bro. Dude, I died.
Kicked that fool out, eh?
Yeah, dude.
They didn't want to play ball, bro.
Right. And he's like, right now, I'm trying to have a succulent meal. I was like, fuck, dude, all these fools
are trying to get fat after the revolution.
Whoever made that movie, dude, put that in, good on you.
History for Fools, man. Don't forget, next week we're going to talk about guns. You have shows coming up?
Yeah, I'm going to be in town with you this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm not in town. I'm going with you.
You're in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, Lincoln.
Hell yeah.
I would like to remind people, though, please, we're still trying to sell tickets. Check out the link in my bio on my IG. Check out the link to buy tickets or just hit me up. I mean, I talk to anybody.
Tickets for where?
Dude, if you want to inbox me, inbox me. Sky Cafe.
Oh, shout out to Sky Cafe, vegan restaurant, great comedy. Go check them. Go check Butch out.
Okay, let's see here.
Let him know, bro.
Sky Cafe, Saturday, the 24th of February. I'll be in South City, San Francisco. Come see me, fucking history fools. I love you guys, and I love when you guys come out. If you
also History of Guns next week, so yeah. There's a nice documentary on guns on YouTube. It's on the History Channel. We're pretty much going to go on by that and other notes we can find on guns. But basically, we're going to talk about gunpowder first gun, and first actual working revolver.
Okay.
Yeah. History for Fools.
History for Fools.